What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire here with your 10 minutes of news for June 9th. On today's show, a bear sends an entire Japanese city scrambling, and we will test your cell phone knowledge with a trivia question that has quite the ring to it. CNN 10 starts now. And we begin in the Philippines, which is dealing with the aftermath of a deadly 7.8 magnitude earthquake. The quake struck the island nation's southern region of Mindanao around 7:30 a.m. local time on Monday, triggering panic as some roads cracked and some buildings crumbled to the ground. As of this taping, at least 19 people have been killed, more than 200 injured. The quake hit just as public schools across the country were starting the new school year. Students were scrambling for shelter. One high school collapsed. Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. says government agencies have been ordered to evacuate residents, deliver aid, and assist rescue efforts. The Philippines sits along the Pacific Ring of Fire, a horseshoe-shaped zone of fault lines stretching roughly 25,000 miles around the Pacific Ocean. It's one of the most geologically active regions on Earth, where earthquakes and volcanic eruptions are a fact of life. Last year, the deadliest quake to hit the Philippines in more than a decade killed at least 74 people. In Japan, officials in Utsunomiya, about 60 miles north of Tokyo, temporarily closed all 94 elementary and middle schools after the city's first ever bear sighting. Security cameras captured this unbelievable sight, the bear sprinting down a shopping street before disappearing into the city. Experts say encounters like this are becoming more common. Researchers say Japan's bear population has roughly tripled since 2012, with a decline in hunting, shrinking farmland, and natural food supplies causing more bears to forage closer to populated areas. Authorities have created special task forces. They've eased hunting rules and more to protect residents. Pop quiz hotshot, which company is behind the best-selling cell phone of all time? Apple, Samsung, Motorola, or Nokia? If you said Nokia, you know your stuff. The Nokia 1100 debuted in 2003 and has sold more than a quarter billion units worldwide. The crown for best-selling smartphone belongs to Apple's iPhone 6, with more than 222 million units sold. Schools across the country are increasingly putting cell phones on timeout. 35 states now ban or limit cell phones in the classroom. Supporters say fewer phones mean fewer distractions, more face-to-face interaction. Critics argue phones help students stay connected with parents and are useful learning tools. Our Claire Duffy visited a school in New York City, the nation's largest school district, where they too have now banned the cellies.
So as usual, when I call your name, just go put your phone away.
What was your first reaction when you heard that this phone ban policy would be going into place this year?
I was kind of expecting it.
The phone ban was kind of inevitable. I wasn't really bothered by the rule.
The students at Philippa Schuyler Middle School in Brooklyn aren't the only ones who had to get used to a phone ban this school year. It's a trend that's gaining steam around the country. But for these students in the nation's largest school district, the policy is getting an A+.
The phone ban has made us a lot more socializing because normally the phone would actually provide a distraction. But now when students are bored, they have no option but to talk to each other.
A lot of students were still a little bit skeptical about like putting their phones in the lockbox, but it definitely provides a better learning experience.
Do you feel like that you have made better friends this year?
I would say in Ryan's and I class, like everybody's just like family, and it's just like we got so close to the point where we don't even need our phones to socialize with each other.
I've been in the system long enough to know there was a time when that was never a problem.
Right.
The law, signed by Governor Kathy Hochul last spring, requires schools to store smartphones and other internet-enabled personal devices from bell to bell. And longtime educators say they're seeing an impact in the classroom and in the lunchroom.
What happens in the cafeteria is the kids are sitting together. When you have a cell phone, you are single user, you are on your own, and the only thing that matters is what's in front of you in your hands. When you now have just humans interacting.
Do you see this having an impact on academics as well?
Oh, for sure. I can tell you from last year to this year, to this past year, my ELA scores went up, my literacy scores are up. So literacy has to do with reading, writing, listening, speaking. Taking away the phones allow you to do all of those things.
They're speaking to each other. The few minutes before class begins, prior to the cell phone ban, they will be on their phones until we said, okay, now we're going to start teaching. Now we're ready to learn.
You get to see the interaction and how it's changed over the years.
The ban was initially met with some opposition, largely from parents who argued that being able to keep in touch with their children at school was a matter of safety.
There's still anxiety there from the parents. They still want to be able to get in contact with their child throughout the day. It's always that what if scenario.
To address those concerns, the law requires schools to provide a way for parents to get in touch with students in case of emergency.
For every one of our schools, there's a designated number where you get a direct person, a live person, in the event of an actual emergency.
Other concerns included how schools would keep kids off their phones. A report published by the National Bureau of Economic Research in April found schools that used Yonder pouches to restrict phones did cut down on screen time, but schools initially saw disciplinary incidents rise and reports of student well-being fall, although those trends reversed in later years. They also found little evidence that the restrictions benefited test scores. Philippa Schuyler switched their approach this year.
With the Yonder pouches, there were only 3 stations across the entire school where you could unlock it. So when it was actually time to go, the places were so crowded.
New York is one of 35 states that now ban or limit cell phones in classrooms, a trend many students at Philippa Schuyler support.
I believe we can collaborate better without phones.
I believe that more students are more engaged in learning, classroom discussions, better grades. Like, I used to get like 80s, now I get like 90s.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. Veterans taking to the skies once again, this time as a symbol of the sacrifices they made for America. 8 retired service members in Nebraska got to fly in a World War II era plane, an opportunity that now years after they put down their helmets isn't easy to come by.
Now I'm getting a chance to do a little something for them at a point in their life when they're not thinking about flying in open cockpit biplanes. And so they come alive, their families come alive. And it's just such an emotional thing.
One of the passengers included 100-year-old Ted Monroe Mills, who fought in World War II and likely trained in one of these, a Boeing Stearman biplane. This aircraft was provided by Dream Flights, a nonprofit that works to honor senior veterans through giving them these unique trips high in the sky. And that brings us to the Honor Roll. We launched it last month. It's our salute to service members who've had a profound impact on your life. Our first salute today goes to Army veteran Jim Morse. Renna Wolf from Traverse City, Michigan, sent these photos of her beloved great-grandfather, who was stationed in Germany during the Korean War from 1950 to 52. Renna says, "He made a huge impact on me and so many others. No matter what, he always made being an amazing grandpa one of his top priorities." Next up, salute to U.S. Marine Corporal Michael Crimmins. Mrs. Naughton from Marshall High School in Chicago nominated her nephew and writes, "Corporal Crimmins loves history, like me, and always makes time for family when he gets a chance to come home and visit. We miss him, but are so proud of him at the same time." We are also saluting Staff Sergeant Robert Gaska, a U.S. Army combat veteran who has been serving our nation for the past 16 years. Sergeant Gaska's son goes to Benicia Middle School in California. Thank you to Ms. Ramirez for honoring this hero on his behalf. Finally, salute to Army National Guard veteran Scott Gloop, who served for 8 years and was deployed to Iraq before he became a teacher. At Sauk Middle School in Elk River, Minnesota, your student Mariah reached out and writes, "Every day he inspires me to be a better person and a thoughtfully engaged citizen. He has helped me view the world in a whole new way." That's what our CNN 10 Honor Roll is all about. Thanks to all of our service members who've chosen to go all out for all of us. Want to highlight a military member in your life? Send us their name, photo, and a couple lines about what they mean to you. CNN10 at CNN.com. Okay, tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday, so don't forget to send us a vocabulary word, a unique one, and put the definition to our latest post on Instagram, at CNN10, @KoiWire, and one of you could help us write tomorrow's show. Also, quick programming note for you. This is our last full week of daily shows before summer, but we've got too many good stories to share with you to stay in tune with us. We won't sign off completely, so be sure to check us out every Friday on CNN10.com or on our CNN10 YouTube channel. Every Friday, we're going to bring you a fresh episode with the best 10 minutes of news, and we have some really awesome things planned. Cannot wait. We'll see you right back here tomorrow, everyone. I'm Koi Wire, and we are CNN 10.